Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, for inwardly they are ravening wolves. Let me tell you a tale of two children, of all children. Once upon an evil time of hunger and depression in our land, they lived with their mother Willa and their father Ben Harper in a house by the river, cradled and comforted in the green arms of the great Ohio Valley. Their town was called Cresap's Landing, and the boy's name was John, and the girl was Pearl. Now, Ben Harper was a good man in an evil season, a hungry season. And one day he took a gun to the bank where he drew his pay each week and he slew two men. Wounded, he fled homeward with a stolen fortune, praying in his broken mind and body that this money might someday prove provender for his loved ones, that these 10,000 plundered dollars would shield his children from the cold shadow of want and need that had chilled his own time on earth. And even as the police car screamed close behind him down the road to his home by the river, Ben hid the cursed, crinkling treasure in his little girl's doll. And he made John swear and he made Pearl swear that they would never tell, that they would never, never tell. And he made John swear that he would guard his little sister's life with his own if need be. And John swore. And they took Ben away and sentenced him to hang. Now, by a strange and unholy chance, there happened to be in the same prison cell with Ben Harper a man called Preacher. Ben was to hang, but Preacher would go free soon. All Preacher had done was to steal a car. Preacher was not a bad sort. Preacher was a man of the Lord at heart. You see his hands? Look at the fingers, the tattooed fingers. The fingers of the left hand spell H-A-T-E-8. And those of the right hand spell L-O-V-E. Love. No. Preacher is a man of holiness.
Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning.
But wait, let me tell you a secret. Wandering through the river towns for a decade, this false and evil prophet has murdered and robbed a score of women. Foolish, lonely widows who saw in him a man of God and a refuge from loneliness. Of course, it was really all right. Preacher used the money to spread the Lord's gospel. Lord didn't mind. Now, when Preacher found himself in the cell with a man whose wife was about to become a widow, it set his wits to itching and his fingers to yearning for the quick, whispering switchblade knife, which was to him Jehovah's wrathful sword. And Preacher's sly nose twitched at the spoor of easy widow's money once again. Where was the money? He would ask Ben again and again, but Ben will not tell. He will never, never tell. And when at last he is hanged and Preacher goes free, what do you suppose that Preacher's quest shall be? It is a night of ghostly river mists at Precept's Landing. A stranger has arrived on the midnight train. Now he stands, staring by the street lamp, wondering behind which of the dreaming small-town windows his quarry sleeps. John and Pearl lie side by side in their feather bed, and Pearl asks John to tell her a story. And John begins a tale of kings and castles and the azure seas of far-off Africa. The light of a street lamp shines a square on the bedroom wall, and now John spies, shadowed plain there, the figure of a man upon the road by the street lamp's yellow shine. But it is only a shadow, and it is gone now, and the children sleep. And in the morning, the sky is shining bright, and the wind is fair, and all is well. It's the sort of day to visit old Uncle Birdie, who runs the wharf boat by the riverside. Uncle Birdie, a most astonishing, a most remarkable man, John's favorite friend by far. And John has need of friends these days, when the children of Precept's Landing dog his heels down the sleepy river road, crying their cruel children's chant of Ben Harper's hanging. Leave them behind you, John. Find solace and kindliness in the cozy wharf boat of the old river man, this grizzled custodian of the great river herself. Go to the wharf boat of Uncle Birdie, John. Visit to Noah's Ark could hold no more wonders for John than this. Fishing tackle and rainbow-tinted lures, tales and banjo tunes of river days gone by. Times when the great boats towered like castles of lace along the river shore. Mornings when the voices of their whistles made the glad land ring round with the joy of sound like the throats of great cathedral organs. Hey! One of the last of them passes now in mid-channel, and old Uncle Birdie grabs John's shoulder and squeezes at the thrill of that grand old sight. In the days to come, John goes more and more often to the wharf boat of his old friend, for a stranger has come to Cresap's Landing. A stranger who spends the long twilight hours in the ice cream parlor where Willa Harper works. A stranger with lettered fingers and eyes as hard as marbles. A stranger whose sweet voice lifts in the grand old tunes of salvation.
Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms.
What's wrong with John? He hates the stranger. That's curious. Everyone else in Cresap's Landing finds him wonderful and shining with righteousness. Everyone else knows Preacher as a man of the Lord. But John senses upon his evil, tattooed hands the scent of greed, the scent of evil, the scent of murder. But is it fair of John to be so selfish? Not to want his pretty widowed mother to be charmed and courted by such a suitor. Lonely, widowed Willa. Pretty Willa. Trying to take care of her poor orphaned lambs. An impudent, sassy John hates the charming stranger who would help her. Hates the nights when he hears the stranger whisper of treasures hidden, of plundered banknotes cached away somewhere. Where? Where indeed? And who's to tell? Not John. John has sworn to that, to never tell. To never, never tell. And the days pass, and the nights go whispering through the Green River spring, and Willa and the stranger wander hand in hand beneath the trees, together in those evenings when John guards Pearl against the whispered threats against their bedroom windows. And the memory of that first black shadow on the wall the night the stranger came to town, and John keeps his trust, he holds his sacred oath. And when Preacher and Willa Harper go down to Sisterville on their honeymoon, John knows with even greater sureness how firm is his resolve. He will never tell where the money is hidden. He will never, never tell. For Willa, it is a time of love and of salvation. Her new husband has taught her that her love for Ben Harper has been a love of the flesh, and her love for Preacher is the love of souls. Willa thinks it is her salvation that Preacher seeks, but John knows better. It is the hidden money that Preacher seeks. And then one soft spring night, Willa returns home from the ice cream parlor unexpectedly and hears Preacher in the parlor of the dark house talking to little Pearl. Willa listens, believing, not believing. No. The money is gone. Ben threw it in the river that day. No. Preacher wouldn't be asking Pearl about the money, pleading, whining, cajoling, threatening. God would not let it be so. The preacher had married her for that. Now Willa is alone with Preacher. The children sleep. The house ticks and moves softly in the darkness. Willa Harper lies in the bed, harking to Preacher's words as he stands by the window in the moonlight with the quick knife ready in his hand. No, she thinks, it cannot be. God would not let it be so. And Willa closes her eyes and prays silently. Preacher moves now at the bidding of his Jehovah, strides swiftly to Willa's bedside with a quick blade glinting in his fist. In the night, John wakens. He harks to the sound of the family car somewhere down in the fog. The whinny and catch, the whinny and catch. As someone tries the starter and then the chatter as the motor catches and the sound of the car fades into the river fog, into the stillness of the cricket-laced midnight. And she, who had loved so well and so unwisely, see her down there beneath the river's limpid depths. Uncle Birdie, out for a morning's catch of fish in Ben Harper's old skiff, catches his line on something and leans forward in the boat's bow and spies the car beneath the water, far below in the shadowy depths. See her there, old man. She who loved so well. See how her hair drifts dreamy and gentle as river grass, and see the fresh new mouth slashed so neatly beneath her dreaming chin. Look well, Uncle Birdie, at the woman who once was Willa Harper, beloved of Ben, mother of John and Pearl.